everyone. I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with Midwifery Business Consultation. I have Michelle Monroe with me. She's a certified nurse midwife in Georgia. I've known Michelle, it's been at least a year now. You first started chatting with me because you were thinking of you're retired and didn't know what to do. And the concept of opening a birth center kind of enticed. There was an opportunity that came up. And you've been making some really good headway. And I can't wait for you to explain all the different things you've been working for to increase access to birth centers in Georgia. So thank you so much, Michelle, for being with me today.
Thanks, Leslie, for having me on. I'm excited to be here. And I think it's been closer to 2 years.
It's already been 2 years. Time flies when we're having fun. Yeah, you and I just chat here and there as you were like kind of doing the business analysis. And I get to meet such cool midwives. And I feel like sometimes that consulting work, I attract these awesome ladies I normally wouldn't get to meet. So yeah, so Michelle and I have been chatting for a while. Michelle, kind of tell us about your background of how you became a midwife and what you've been working on recently.
So I have a very diverse background because I did 28 and a half years in the military. And so I started in the military as a young GYN nurse and then did about a year on labor and delivery, but that was it. I actually became an emergency room nurse for about 8 years. And as I was going through thinking, okay, the military will send me back to school to get my master's degree. What do I want to be when I grow up? And I couldn't think of anything else but being a midwife. And so I actually got a lot of pushback coming from the emergency room background. Well, you can't be a midwife. Why? How can you go be a midwife? You don't have labor and delivery. But it was actually a midwife who wrote me a recommendation letter. He had been in the midwife army for a long time and said, look, being in the ER translates very well to being on the labor deck. We have patients come in all the time for triage, which is exactly what you do in the emergency room. And we have patients that go from as simple as low risk to high risk, and they have to be evaluated quickly. And the skills of an emergency room nurse are valued in this field. And yeah, so yeah, it was that letter that helped me to get into school. And I actually went to University of Maryland, which does no longer have a midwifery program. Mm-hmm. So their midwifery program closed down. But I personally went back there because that was home. And mm-hmm. that allowed me to spend some time being back at home, being with family. And it was really cool, though. My first assignment was at Tripler in Hawaii.
And that's cool.
Yes. And so as we were looking for clinical sites, being a newer program at the time, I actually got to do my internship or my clinical rotation on that last semester in Hawaii.
That's so cool.
So I got to be with the practice that I was going to work at, learn all the people, how it worked as a student. So going back there, it was very easy transition as a brand new midwife, which I tell you, I value today because I walked in and I was expected to be able to, yes, get through my little preceptorship, but turn around and train medical students and interns and catch babies with them. And I really felt like it was so important for them to hear the midwifery model. And so it was really a great practice because the person who did my recommendation letter was out there and was one of my bosses. And mm-hmm. so I was very fortunate, but she also was this trailblazer and she got tubs in every one of our labor rooms.
Wow.
Most people would never think that a military hospital would have that.
Yeah, for sure. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. But we did. And eventually we got to a point where we got to do water births and it was phenomenal.
Yeah. So you're creating the best of both worlds because a lot of times people have the stigma, most military hospitals, you're getting less midwifery model of care, but you guys were advocating and able to get it into that facility. So that's amazing.
Right. We had a very good collaborative practice where we had a midwifery model, midwifery patients. We came in on call for our patients and I was able to set that same similar type of practice up in Washington State, where we grew that from the ground up. Where I was at in Hawaii, they had had midwives for a long time. When I went to Washington State, they had a few midwives, but they didn't have a midwifery service. That's what we call it. And so I was able to build that to a point where we were working with the interns that they were the co-facilitator for our centering. And so we backwards planned from the delivery dates for their internship rotations on labor and delivery, backwards planned so that as they got that continuity of care in those patients, then when they were on labor and delivery for their month, they potentially delivered some of their patients that they had taken care of.
Yeah, and that's huge. I think we talk often with other midwifery models, the difference between CPMs and CNMs. CNM is more of a number base, and CPM is more of a continuity of care base. And I think residents in the medical school is that same concept. They don't so much the relationship building isn't being valued. And I'm so grateful you were adding that as a key component of the midwifery model.
Right. And I think the biggest compliment, and I say, share this pretty regularly, but one of the biggest compliments I got is for an OBGYN physician to say to me, I want to do a fellowship in midwifery.
Wow, that is huge.
Yes. And I just am so blessed to have worked with a team that valued midwives, that valued what we brought to the table. And we were not considered, less than. We were equal to the counter, our physician counterparts. And
Yeah,
we
just
were.
a different skill set and expertise. Like we are the experts in
Yes.
normal, they're the experts in high risk versus a lot of times you hear it of like, I'm the OB, I'm good at low risk and high risk, and you can only like it's a different mindset, definitely.
Yeah. And whenever we had midwife patients that maybe were specifically ours, but we had hands and knees delivery. I would say to the patient, can I bring a resident in? They might have never met that patient, but they were always willing to let the resident see and learn a different way of taking care of a patient.
Amazing. Amazing. And so I think the exciting part is you worked yourself up from level to level, and not too many midwives can say they've been CEOs of hospitals. So I'd love to hear the journey of how that happened.
So I was very fortunate to. After I left Washington State, I moved to Virginia and I was put in the chief nurse position. And then I actually worked 4 years as the commandant at the Uniformed Services University. And most people don't know what that role is as a commandant, but it's an assistant dean of students. So I always told the students, I'm like your principal and your counselor all at the same time because I militarily took care of them in every way, shape, or form, made sure that they did all the things that they had to do from a military standpoint, but also was their advocate. So, in any of the academic meetings, I was the one who helped to fight for them. So it was very interesting kind of balancing those roles. Sometimes I would have to say, okay, which side of me are you coming in to talk to?
Yeah, you want the counselor?
But that as really set me up for that leadership role, and it was a tri-service, so looking at all the different services and how they functioned. And then I got to go to Germany and be overseas in Landstuhl and be at that trauma facility where we see casualties come back from war, and really just the amazing footprint that that Landstuhl has and that experience. And so went from the assistant chief nurse to the chief nurse, and that's when I got picked up to, for what we call brigade command, or as the CEO of a hospital. And so you less than 1% of the army gets chosen to be in that position. And as a nurse, it's even less,
Well, as I say, as a female, as a nurse, as a midwife, you were that 0.0001%, and that tells a lot about you and the impact you have. And I've been amazed just how much skills and knowledge and tenacity you have. Even now, like now that you're retired, you haven't stopped at all advocating for midwifery. So I would love for you to chat about what you're currently doing and these amazing roles.
Yeah, I want to add, of course, it's a little bit of something. I was the very first female commander, so very first female CEO of this hospital in its 53 years of existence. So that had some huge challenges to overcome. And being in a primarily male dominated army, and especially at those senior levels, those were interesting challenges to overcome. But I also had to do that when the pandemic started because I was the CEO. So at that point, February 29th, 2020, I was still the CEO of the hospital. So really, where the difference between being a CEO in a civilian facility is you're responsible for the hospital. But my job as in the Army was not just being responsible for the hospital, but all the people that we serve. So it covers the 85,000 beneficiaries that we took care of across the installation and local area. So it was pretty big, and we did, creating policies and procedures to make sure not only the staff were safe, but all our patients were safe as well. So very important.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine. I mean, I was the director of a birth center during the COVID and had to worry about eight midwives. I couldn't imagine 85,000 people to worry about and that responsibility. And maybe before you go to the question I originally asked, like, how did you balance it? How did you keep the midwifery model? How did you keep your core of who you are as you went into new and new roles?
Well, one of the things that, of course, came up is within hospitals is that there was no visitors, right? But I was never ever going to allow a laboring woman to not have a support person with them. So that was my ultimate policy, is that no woman would be alone. And so we had at least one person could be in the room with them during that delivery experience, which I felt was absolutely must. And I'm not sure that other people would have done that. And so I was grateful to have that opportunity to be there for women and women delivering, because babies don't stop. And we got to take care of women across the board.
Well, and I think a big emphasis is midwifing the midwives. Like you, the ripple effect, so many people get embarrassed. They can't advocate. Well, I'm not a midwife because I'm not catching babies. I'm not doing the stereotypical midwife. And I'm like, I'm a business consultant for midwives. I midwife the midwives. You were a CEO, you were the highest level advocating for women's rights and midwifery. So I think getting midwives to think outside the box, there's so many ways to advocate for better birth outcomes and family experiences, the midwifery model. And that's the next direction. And legislature, there's ways to advocate that way. So I would love for you to talk about what you're working on right now.
So when I retired from the military, I've done now, 18 years of federal experience as a midwife with independent practice and full practice authority. And I go into Georgia, where there's not that. And you have to have a supervising physician. And we don't even have a license. We have an authorization under our RN degree.
Yep, and a lot of them have that across the state. Michigan and a few others are that way too. Massachusetts.
So the more and more I looked at it, and the more and more I got involved in knowing what the statistics were for the state of Georgia, they're atrocious. 49th out of 50, maternal mortality is through the roof. Infant mortality gets a F by March of Dimes. We moved up to a D minus, but really
F and D
Chatham.
minus are still bad, bad, bad.
Yes. We moved from 11.7 to 11.4. That's not that great to me. So I really thought, I tried to advocate by going to our legislators, and I didn't really get a lot of movement. And so I decided that the best way for me to be an advocate was to step in the race. And so I ran for Congress here in the first congressional district. And the after action comments is that I just didn't have enough time. And I chose to wait till after the holidays to announce my candidacy for the congressional district with. And so I really stepped out in January 4th, and our primary was May 24th. And so people said, that's probably not enough time. But honestly, we did some great work because I got almost 7,000 votes.
Amazing.
And so we're really doing some good work here. And as I stepped away from that, I thought, okay, I didn't make it through, but I'm not done. I still feel like there's a need for someone to be working on legislator advocacy and taking care of women in this district. So what I've what a couple of things that I've done, I decided to step into the birth center so I can learn from the tactical level what is going on at the ground level, the issues. And I'm learning them a lot. I'm definitely.
So you're a midwife on the team right now, or are you doing administration side there?
No, I'm doing 2 days a week as a midwife in the clinic so that I can, like I said, be on the ground and understand what the issues are for Georgia. Because one of the things, the pushbacks I've gotten is, well, you don't understand because you haven't worked here or you haven't worked the civilian system.
Yeah, you don't understand. Yeah.
So I'm stepping in because I'm not going to put any barriers in my way.
Yeah.
But on the same note, on a similar note, I also have formulated a nonprofit. It's called Coastal Georgia Women's Foundation. And what my goal is to have advocacy and equity for women across the coast. And this state is 51% women. And so we really should have a women's foundation for the state of Georgia overall, but I have to start small. And so I picked the coast where I live and where I've been running through 15 counties as a congressional candidate. And so learning the coast, I understand what a lot of the issues are. And my goal for the nonprofit is to, or what I'd like to do from it is to set up some leadership classes, not just a one-day course, but really a series so that you have those touch points. Because what I've found is that through the American College of Nurse Midwives and our leadership group, Midwives Lead, is that that monthly touch point actually helps people to build confidence and hear other stories.
Yeah,
about
accountability,
what
support, yeah.
Yeah.
Keeps
and
them
so,
going.
Right. So that one month, one time day, one day thing doesn't necessarily inflict all the information that you need and really set you up with that confidence, because a lot of midwives feel like they're, and I did it too, especially after retired, have this imposter syndrome that you don't know, but you do know, and you need to be that voice at the table, and you are the subject matter expert. And you absolutely can make a difference. Just use your voice, be an advocate for women, and again, have a seat at the table.
Oh my goodness. I feel like that should be like the best of our, and your inspirational quote, Michelle. I am beyond impressed, and you have so much more to do. You've already done 30 years of amazing advocacy and you are only halfway there. I know you're going to be fighting until your husband says, nope, honey, you need to, I want you back a little bit more. And I think midwives are that way. We don't retire. Like we always talk that we've got a little more financial freedom to do a different direction in life because midwives are always advocating. They're always, our whole core belief is how can we make things better for our communities? It's not just catching babies. It's the with woman. It's that core belief of how can we empower? And I think that's where you and I get along so well, because we look at the big picture, like finances, professional, it's not just clinical training, it's resiliency. It's if you have a good work-life balance and burnout, and how can we support women in a whole aspect like we do our clients, but also the midwives and the other side of things. So you and I have lots of great chats about that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Michelle, for your time. I really, really appreciated it. And if you're comfortable, I'll put some of the contact information under the YouTube video of all the ways they can connect with you and your foundation and all these amazing things. Because I know there's a few midwives I do consulting with that are in Georgia, and I always recommend they come chat with you if they want a good advocate that's trying to help make big change. So.
Oh, thank you. I'm happy to talk to anyone. I love being a mentor and talking and helping
Solving big
people.
problems. Yep,
That's
solve big
right.
problems. Okay, thank you so much, Michelle.
Thank you, Leslie.